What's up, ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls and all my fellow necrophiliacs out there? It's your girl, the number one necrophiliac, is back in the house. It's your girl, Delia, and you have just tuned in to Delia's Dark Side. And this is my Delia Sinister Nightmare Before Christmas special with your host, just me today. No bells, no whistles, none of that shit. I don't have no co-host with me. It's just me, y'all, by myself. Back doing it how I normally do it. Did you miss me? I sure missed you guys because the last time I did a show was around Halloween or something like that. I did my Halloween show with my guest co-host, Derek Bradley. I want to thank him for hanging out on the dark side for the past couple of shows. It was good having him. He'll be back soon. But, you know, I just decided to do my show on my own. And also, I had a great time hanging out on the Dark Mark show with Fiberty Gibbets. And Monty, what was his name? Monty Travolta. That was fun. That was a really cool show. So thanks, Dark Mark, for having me on that show. And I just had a birthday recently, about 3 weeks ago. I turned 41. Yay! And I'm not one of those people who hides my age. I like to tell everybody, yes, I am 41, and I've just begun, bitches, and I'm loving it, okay? Anyway, thanks for tuning in to Delia's Dark Side on a special time today, 1 p.m., and you can call me on Skid Row Studios at 1-800-893-9562. Now, I want to just recap my birthday month because it was really cool. I had a really nice time. My husband made sure that I had a bomb time, which he always does. And no, I'm not one of those people that just goes for just one day having a birthday. No, I make it the whole month of November. November 25th was actually the day. But yes, I had a wonderful time and had some great friends come out and celebrate with me. My girl Sue, what's up, Susan Edwards? She made it really fun for us. We had a really good time hanging out, partying at my house. And yeah, some girl-on-girl action and stuff. Yeah, I wasn't expecting all that, but, you know, it went down. It was cool. And also we hung out at Bar Sinister the last month of November. I think it was like the last day of November, the 28th or something. We were all hanging out at Bar Sinister. And I want to thank again Goth Mark from the Dark Mark Show for hanging out and buying me a Long Island iced tea, because you can always get on my good side if you buy me a Long Island iced tea. That's my drink. But yeah, it was a good month, and so now I'm back in full effect. So yeah, so you guys know this these allegations have been circling the tabloids for about 4 or 5 weeks now about Mr. Bill Cosby. you know, Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable. Now, this guy was like, not my idol, but he was like the father that I always wanted growing up. You know, when I was a kid, I was in the agencies and stuff. I think the agency back in the 80s was called Faces International. I was part of that. And I always dreamt of being like one of the kids, Cosby kids. Maybe they throw me in there as like a cousin or something. I always wanted to be on a Cosby show. Now, I'd be goddamn that this motherfucker, this shit then came out. This motherfucker is going around drugging motherfuckers and having sex with them. So, you know, I always have on the dark side, I always have my number one necrophiliac, the person who made my number one necrophiliac list. And Mr. Bill Cosby, a.k.a. Heathcliff Huxtable, has made my number one necrophiliac list. And let me tell you why. Now, it's not just about, you know, fucking somebody when they're dead, but it's also if you have to drug somebody to the point where they are damn near comatose, and they are lifeless, they cannot move, and they can't move. They are just rendered, you know, unresponsive, and they're, you know, half dead, basically. And you commence to fucking them, guess what you are, motherfucker? You are a goddamn necrophiliac. So Bill Cosby, thank you. You have made my number one necrophiliac list. You are a damn sure a necrophiliac. And this one lady, we all probably know her, Beverly Johnson. She was one of the first black supermodels. You know, she told the story. I just read the story actually last night. I was kind of hungover and stuff, but I read the story, the whole transcript about how he basically took her to his house, you know, first with the daughter and showed her around everything, had her feeling very comfortable, you know, made her feel very comfortable, and then invited her back and basically demanded that she drink this really fucked up cappuccino or whatever from his cappuccino machine. And she told him no, she wasn't really a coffee drinker, especially late in the day, because it's hard for her to go to sleep. But he was very adamant about her drinking this this brand of coffee or whatever, this cappuccino. Like, she's never tasted cappuccino. I'm sure they all taste the fucking same, but whatever. But she, you know, he was very adamant. So she took two sips, and all of a sudden she was like, you know, basically pretty much drugged. And she said that, you know, her being a supermodel and partying, you know, she knows, you know, she's taken all kinds of drugs in her life, you know, to have fun and whatever. So she knew when she was drugged, and she was drugged good, that, you know, Bill Cosby drugged her. And so, you know, basically before she blacked out, she said, she started calling him all kinds of motherfuckers, saying, "You drugged me, you motherfucker," and all this. And he had his hand on her waist, and she's like, "You fucking motherfucker, you drugged me." And he just got really pissed off, because at that point he knew that he couldn't rape her. So he just grabbed her by her arm and, like, flung her down the steps, grabbed her down the steps, and, you know, threw her into a taxi. And so that was one girl, I guess, who got away. But yes, Mr. Bill Cosby, if you have to render someone unkind, I mean, is he that fucking ugly? I mean, I know he ain't the best looking motherfucker on the block, but I mean, he's got money and he's got stature. You know what I mean? So why do you have to drug the women before you, you know, have sex with them? I mean, couldn't you just ask? Because I'm sure some of them would have, like, given it up pretty easy. If you had to just ask, "Hey, can I fuck you right now? Can I, you know, we suck my dick or something," you know? You don't have to, like, drug someone and render them unconscious, unless you're a fucking necrophiliac and you just like them lifeless to the point where they can't move. Then you want to fuck them. You're a fucking necrophiliac. So, yes, Bill Cosby, applause to you. You reached my number one necrophiliac list. So, from that point on, we're going to, my first story of the day, I'm going to be telling a story about Bible thumpers. Now, we are all reaching that Christmas holiday spirit. I've never been really a Christmas person. As a matter of fact, I kind of hated Christmas after I turned 16 years old because, you know, for, you know, when I was a little kid, you know, like running out into the living room and finding gifts. Well, when I was 16 years old, my father did something real stupid, and he dislocated his shoulder. He fell off of a fucking ladder or some shit and dislocated his shoulder, so he couldn't work anymore. So we didn't have any money coming in, so he couldn't get me any more Christmas gifts. I guess that's when I turned dark, because when I went out to the living room to see if there was Christmas, because I was just hoping, like, maybe he, you know, found some kind of money, because, you know, when money was tight with us, he would always find a way to make shit work. So I was, you know, thinking maybe he found a way to, you know, there would be some new presents under the tree. So I went under the tree, and then, you know, there was like a whole thing of fucking hand-me-downs and shit, like old-ass clothes that somebody else had worn before, under the, like, spread out all on the couch and shit. I took those fucking clothes and threw them all over the place and cut them up and ripped them and all kinds of shit. I was so fucking pissed off. But anyway, enough about that. So, you know, I really don't like Bible thumpers either, especially the ones who think that they, you know, they look down upon everyone and, you know, they think that their shit don't stink. You know, I hate motherfuckers like that. And I've ran across a lot of them in my life. And especially the ones that go door to door, knocking on your door, especially when you sleep and you're in a good sleep. And then those son of a bitches just come knocking on your door like, you know, want to read you the Watchtower or some shit like that, those fucking Jehovah's Witnesses or what the fuck. So when we come back from this break, I'm going to read a story about two Bible thumpers who go knocking on the wrong door right after this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back here on Skid Row Studios, live on Delia's Dark Side, Delia's Sinister Nightmare Before Christmas on Skid Row Studios. And if you want to talk to me, the number is 800-893-9562. So I said I was going to tell the story about the Bible Thumper story, but I was just brought, it just was brought to my attention by the phantom in the corner over here. That there was another story that I would like to share with you guys. And this story was actually brought to my attention by the owner, Chester Farnsworth, who shared this story on Facebook about a week or so ago on Facebook. It was about this DA who videotaped himself having sex with his daughter's dead corpse after he killed her. This man was accused of killing his stepdaughter, Jessica Padgett, and videotaped himself having sex with the corpse. What the fuck? That's disgusting. What are you shaking your head for? At the story? Oh, or I thought you were shaking your head at me. Like, don't be shaking your head, no, motherfucker. Anyway, Northampton County District Attorney John Marganelli said Friday, he said the video confirmed what Gregory R. Graff told investigators on the day he was charged with a homicide last month, that he wanted to have sex with Padgett and that he did so after she was dead. He wanted to fuck his daughter and his stepdaughter, and stepdaughter always looked at him as, you know, as a father, like a real father. And all this time he'd been wanting to fuck her. So he did after he fucking killed her. And the only reason why he killed her is because he wanted to fuck her. Sick motherfucker. You go underneath Bill Cosby, because Bill Cosby is still the number one necrophiliac, I think. Meganelli said he had concluded Graff killed Padgett in order to have sex with her body. See, he said he had authorized the filing of an abuse of corpse charge against Graff 53. A misdemeanor, it means Marganelli won't be able to seek the death penalty because he allegedly the sexual abuse occurred after Padgett was killed. But why he killed her? So that he can have sex with her. So why wouldn't he be eligible for the fucking death penalty? Isn't that crazy? That's some crazy shit. She's still eligible in my book. That's fucked up. Anyway, Graff is accused of shooting Padgett in the back of the head November 21st and hiding her body on his property while family and friends search for her. So he still had her hiding, like, in a closet or somewhere downstairs in the attic, butt-ass naked with her legs open because he wanted to go down there and fuck her. Padgett went missing that day after she left, Doug Goose childcare in Northampton. So she was taking care of children and doing the right thing, and she had to go home to this sick motherfucker who shot her in the back of her head just to fuck her. Anyway, Marganelli said Graff had a marijuana-growing operation that police discovered as they searched for Padgett. So that's that story. That's really fucked up. I mean, damn, there's some really fucked up motherfuckers out here, you know? Like, you never know who you're looking at, who you're living with, or anything. And she looked at this guy as a, you know, as a father figure. And all the while, he's thinking in his sick-ass mind that I want to kill this bitch so I can fuck her because I know I can't fuck her now because she thinks I'm her father. You know, that's some fucked up shit. Anyway, so yeah, there's another story that I want to share with you guys, too. And this one goes all the way back to November 1st at the Dead Man's Party concert. This is a funny-ass story. Now, you talk about sleepwalking or drunk walking or whatever the hell it was. I don't know. You guys tell me. Okay, so our friends, they do this Oingo Boingo tribute show, you know, and they're called Dead Man's Party. Anyway, they did a show at the Gas Lamp in Long Beach, and it was for Halloween. You know, I was dressed as a voodoo doll and everything, and it was really fun. We're having a good time. And I just remember having... I think I only had maybe two Long Island iced teas that night. But when we got to Long Beach in the hotel, we were drinking maybe like, I had maybe one or two like vodka and sodas or something like that. I don't know what the hell, but this normally never happens to me. All right. So somehow in the night, I guess my husband asked me, you know, if I was ready to go, because the venue and the hotel are like right next door to each other. So you can just walk to the hotel. So I guess my husband asked me if I was ready to go. And I shook my head no. Maybe I was just drunk and my head might have dropped and it looked like I said like, yeah, or something like that. Maybe it looked like I shook my head. Yeah. But anyway, so he brought me back to the hotel. Now, I don't know if I fell asleep when I got back to the hotel or if I just waited for him to fall asleep because he just passed out because he was fucked up too. But somehow, I decided to take off my costume and put on my regular clothes. And I had on a black hoodie with some like gray skinny jeans and some UGG boots. And I had on a wig that day and all my hair was pulled back. And so it was like pulled back into a bun. So when you take the wig off, like my hair was like really flat. So it looked like I might have been bald because my hair was like really flat and shit. So I don't know, but I decided that I was going to walk back to the club while he was sleeping. And I think I still had my makeup on, too. And I had, like, my that makeup. I look like a voodoo doll, like, slash, like, ventriloquist dummy or something. So I went walking back to the club. And I don't remember what I was saying, but I do remember getting escorted back to the hotel by the bouncer there. That's all I remember. And I don't remember anything else. So we're going back to the DMP show next week in Riverside. I got to redeem my damn self because that was just crazy, dude. That was a crazy, epic night. It was fucking fun. So anyway, getting to the story, Bible Thumper, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to read Zombie Lust because we are like little over 30 minutes ahead. But anyway, so the story Bible Thumper, basically you find out what happens when some, you know, Bible thumpers go knocking on the wrong door. So I was watching a couple going door to door in my neighborhood pushing the Bible. I hate it when anybody comes to my door and bothers me on my free time. They look to be in their late 30s. I noticed that the one woman has short, wavy, dirty blonde hair, glasses, and was wearing a conservative long green shirt with a small slip up the back, with a sweater, suntan pantyhose, and short heels. She wasn't hot, but her figure wasn't bad. So she was an ugly bitch. She was like a Peggy Hill looking motherfucker. They knocked on my door and I invited them in and told them to have a seat. They kept looking. I kept looking her up and down as they gave me pamphlets and preached at me. I was getting excited. Weird scenarios are running through my head the whole time. I knew that I was going to be doing something to them, but I had no idea what I was going to do. Then finally, after almost an hour of listening to them thumping the Bible, I stepped out of the room and got my gun and put it in the waistband at the back of my pants. This is fucked up. You can see where this is going already, right? Then as I entered the room, I asked the man a question. Is your wife a good fuck? They both had a shocked look on their faces, and the guy started stuttering. What? Let's see. That's when I pulled out the gun and said, I want to see your wife's pussy wrapped around my dick. I then ordered them to stand up and turn around. I told them to put their hands up, and I pistol whipped the man over his head. I kept beating him while the woman stood there crying. When he stopped moving, I put the duct tape over his mouth and bound his hands. He was unconscious and bleeding badly. Then I told the woman to face me. I grabbed her sweater and ripped it off, and then I unbuttoned her blouse. Then I reached up and took her glasses off. The bitch was shying away from me. Every move I made, like a frightened deer, I told her to turn around. And I pushed her back so she was bending over, and I pulled up her skirt to see what she had to work with. She was crying and started to say a prayer. Oh, Lord, Deepus. Oh, Lord, help me, Deepus. I pulled my dick out and started to masturbate with one hand as I pulled her skirt up with the other hand. Her legs were very shapely and sexy looking with pantyhose on. I had a good view of her ass and realized that she wasn't wearing any panties. Now that's just nasty. How do you wear those kind of pantyhose like that? They already don't breathe as, like, you know, as it is. And then you don't wear any fucking panties. And she's walking around knocking on people's door. And you know she's a fucking cunt and ass and shit getting all sweaty. That's nasty. I reached out and began feeling her pantyhose covered ass. It was firm. I guess all that walking and preaching paid off for her. When I started to caress her legs and reached around her and massage her breasts as I rubbed my dick on her ass. Then after a bit, I tied her hands and grabbed her with the duct tape. Gagged her with the duct tape. I shoved her over the arm of the couch and began licking her pussy and asshole through the pantyhose. So he's licking all that nasty sweat. By now it was so hard that I started dry humping her ass, trying to stick my dick in her through the pantyhose. Oh Lord, this is way too familiar. I could only stretch it part way into her. Frustrated, I tore the crotch, and I have this highlighted. I tore open the crotch of the pantyhose and ran my dick into her as hard and as deep as I could. Now this is oddly familiar because the night don't be shaking your head no, because I'm gonna call you out, motherfucker. The night that we came home from Bar Sinister, this phantom over here is sitting in the corner tried the same shit with me with my fishnet pantyhose, except I was wearing panties, okay? That's why I have it highlighted. You know you're going to get called out now. Come on. You could hear her scream through the gag, which only made me want her more. I started to fuck her from behind, and after a few minutes of that, I flipped her over and pushed her legs far apart and looked down at her exposed cunt. She was trying to scream through the duct tape gag and was crying, which helped to turn me on even more. Don't you know that these rapists and these necrophiliacs, the more you scream, the more they like it? She was just lying against the arm of the couch, not putting up much of a fight. It was so hot. The feeling of power made me lightheaded. Oh, shit. But I liked a little fight, so I slapped her and pulled her bra off. Brought up and up to strangle her a little bit. He could strangle a bitch with a bra. Damn. Damn, I didn't know like your underwear could be used as fucking like gagging and, you know, used to kill you. I didn't know that. Her legs started to kick a little bit. Now things were getting better. I quickly blew my load into her cunt and got off of her. Then I released her and told her to get up and taking off all of our clothes and put them in the bag. I held. She was whimpering in fear, driving me to an even higher lustful level than I'd ever been before. When she was now down to only her pantyhose, I told her to stop there. You could see my cum running down her pantyhose. Her husband wasn't moving. I must have been dead, so I kicked him in the head. I'm sure he kicked him in the head. Hold on. So I kicked him in the head a few times to make the woman more fearful of me. Then I walked. Well, she wasn't fearful of you by this time, and you kicking her husband in the head ain't going to make her even more fearful, into the bathroom and filled the tub with water. She could only imagine what was going to happen to her now. I was enjoying this immensely. I had her sit on the sink and spread her legs for me. Then I grabbed her and moved up to her and shoved myself into her pussy. Then I lifted her up and walked over to the tub, still jammed into her. I leaned over, taking her weight and pushed her upper body into the tub of water. Now she was fighting me, and I could feel her cunt muscles contracting around my cock with her exertions, trying to pull her head out of the water. She was thrashing around desperately, trying to escape. That's when I started to come again. Oh, you fucking bitch. It was the longest orgasm I ever had, and I watched her desperate face the whole time I was emptying myself into her. I finally finished coming. She was still kicking. Her head was still underwater. I left my dick shoved inside her until she finally stopped struggling. Then I slowly started fucking her lifeless body again, thrusting deeply, using the lubrication from my earlier cums to smooth the way. Finally, my body tensed one last time, and my life force pumped into her cunt. As I caught my breath, I looked down at my dead playmate and realized I had a lot of cleaning up to do. I got up and left her there with her legs hanging over the tub as I attended the task of covering my tracks. The end. So we're going to go to a commercial break. I hope you guys enjoyed that story. And we come back. Maybe I'll have time to read some zombie lust right after this. What's up, everybody? I hope you guys enjoyed that last story, Bible Thumpers. So, you know what, Bible Thumpers? Think twice before you go knocking on anybody's door because you never know what can happen. You could run into this crazy motherfucker. So, are there any Walking Dead fans out there? Me, I am not a Walking Dead fan. But for some of you who are Walking Dead fans, I've got something for you, a little zombie lust here. This is like one of my favorite stories. If you like a little necrophiliac and zombies and all that shit, then this is a good story for you. Hopefully I have enough time. Got like 23 minutes or something to go, 20 minutes or something like that to go. So I'll try to be as fast as I can. So this is zombie lust. And again, if you want to holler at me, the number here is 800-893-9562. And this is Delia's Sinister Nightmare Before Christmas. And I hope I'm scaring your ass so far. I was walking home from a friend's graduation party, and I admit I was more than a little drunk. But hey, I was 18, a young, good-looking female. And if I wanted to party, hey, I'll party. But that night would be a night I would never forget. I was so tired. I just wanted to go home and get some sleep. I had to make a choice to cut through the graveyard and get home half the time, or go all the way around, which would take longer but was less creepy. I don't know. What do you guys think? I said, fuck it, and went through the graveyard. Good choice, lady or girl. I hated the graveyard. It was always so creepy, and the place was just gave me a bad vibe when I was a kid, yet there I was walking through the damn place at 2 a.m. so I could get to bed quicker. There was a full moon, nice, so it wasn't pitch black outside. I didn't really like the fog that was about knee high, but I would be home as soon. And everything would be fine. So you think. As I swaggered through the graveyard, I kept hearing a noise. It sounded like a low moan. I should have worn my glasses because my contact lenses are not helping me today. It sounded like a low moan. I thought to myself, someone from the party must be getting laid out here. I giggled and continued walking. I was about halfway through the graveyard when the moaning got louder. There were about 10 big trees in the middle of the graveyard, and that was where the moaning was coming from. I giggled and decided to see what was who was getting laid. Now, if you hear somebody moaning, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, don't you think it would be within your best interest to mind your own fucking business and take your stupid ass home? No. I snuck behind one of the trees and peeked around. No one was there. I slowly tiptoed to the next tree. I fell once but got up quickly. I laughed out loud then said, "Shh." I got behind another tree and peeked around. She said, "Shh," to herself. Oh. Whatever. Thanks, Phantom. And whatever, he just, okay, I had loud moan behind me, the trees I hadn't checked. I ran over to the tree, hit it with my face, and fell down. I told you I was a little drunk. I got up slowly and rubbed my nose. Then it dawned on me, what would happen if they got mad at me for spying? I laughed and thought, hell, I don't care. I may only be 5'3 and 100 pounds, but I did kick him in the balls, and his lover would probably be too embarrassed to do anything, so I could escape easily. I peeked around the tree. To my delight, I saw a nice pair of muscular ass cheeks. Nice. Actually, I saw the back of a naked man. But my eyes were focused on that sweet ass. From what I could tell, he was alone, standing there. So he was jacking off. He let out a low moan. That was when I figured he must be touching himself. Now my curiosity was piqued. I wanted to see him stroke his cock. So now she wanna watch this motherfucker jack off. She should have just went home. I wanted to see his cock length and the thickness. Now she's just like all nosy. I held onto the tree and leaned way out to see more of him. That's when my hand slipped off the tree and I fell down. Why are bitches in scary movies always falling down? Why? I just lay there in the fog for a second. Then I heard him walk towards me. I stood back up and was about to apologize for the intrusion, but I couldn't speak. I stood there in shock. I could barely breathe. The man was facing me, and I couldn't believe my eyes. His skin looked blue in color. His face was fucked up. One of his eyes was dangling on his cheek. He had about 5 broken teeth in his mouth, and blood was dripping out of it. He had big open sores all over his body and yellow pus was seeping out. This is a good looking motherfucker. Pus ran out from the top of his chest, and his blood ran out from the top of his belly and his chest. Worms and maggots were coming out of his scar at his belly. His penis was hard, but the flesh was tore all over it. This thing was just staring at me, rocking from side to side. I whispered, "I have to go." The thing looked into my brown eyes and gave me a hellish smile. I was petrified. and I was shaking from head to toe. The creature moaned at me, a word that chilled me to the bone. He moaned, "Pussy." I turned and ran as fast as I could in a direction, in any direction. I didn't care where I went as long as I was away from this zombie guy. As I ran, my foot got caught on another. She fell again. My foot got caught on something on the guard on the ground, and I fell. I couldn't see what it was because of the dog of the fog of the dog of the fog. But I quickly got up. I could see the zombie hobbling after me. He was walking so slow, I knew he would never catch me. I began to run and again something caught my foot, and I fell onto the ground. I rolled onto my back and sat up. Something had a hold of my foot. When I took a closer look at my foot, I screamed. I could see a hand coming from the ground holding my ankle, and the hand was rotting flesh all over it, but it was very strong. I clawed at the hand to release my ankle, but all I got was rotting flesh under my fingernails. As I tried to get my ankle free, another hand came from the ground and grabbed my other ankle. "Oh, God, no," I screamed. Then I felt my long brown hair being pulled. My head was pulled to the ground. I clawed at the hand that was pulling my hair, but as I did so, two more hands came out of the ground and held my wrists. With my hands held firm above my head and my ankles secured firmly below, I began to cry. I was about to scream, but another hand covered my mouth. My hands came, four hands came out of the ground, one on either side of my rib cage and one on either side of my hips. The two at my rib cage tore open my white blouse as the buttons flew everywhere. They tore off my bra, exposing my breasts and erect nipples. So she was getting horny off of this. Why was her nipples erect, huh? It was so cold laying there on the ground. The other two hands at my hips tore off my skirt, then my hips firmly in place. Then they left. Two hands that were holding my ankles slowly moved up to the backs of my knees. The hands were very big and wrapped around my knee. The hands pulled my knees to my chest, then spread me wide open. Can you see where this is going? I screamed into the rotting hand that covered my mouth. I thought to myself, why is this happening to me? Because you didn't go the other way, you dumb bitch. What is going to happen to me? As if she didn't know already. When I heard a low moan, I looked up between my legs, and there he was, the zombie. The hellish grin came across his face, and as he looked at me, then he moaned out that familiar word again, "Pussy." The two hands that tore off my blouse and bra began milking my breast. Ouch! They squeezed so hard, I thought my breasts would burst, squeezing, relaxing over and over like a damn machine. The zombie kneeled between my legs. How can you do that? The zombie kneeled between my legs, and with one of his hands, he tore off my yellow flowered panties. My muffled cries went unheard. He opened the folds of my vagina and ran his blood-soaked tongue deep into my soft, wet girlhood. I screamed as the ice cold tongue violated my hot wet vagina. I could feel his tongue lapping at my outer lips, then going deep inside, lashing at my inner pussy walls. As I cried, he continued eating me out. He pulled his tongue out of me and then began to suck on my clit. Damn, this motherfucker knew what he was doing. My belly tightened as he suckled on my button. My breathing was getting faster, and the hands that were milking my breasts got faster, too. I could feel my body building to orgasm. How can this be? I thought. Am I really going to orgasm for this undead rapist? Now, this is when shit goes the other way. Now, first is like guys, the, you know, necrophiliacs, people fucking dead people. Now this dead person is fucking her. So it's backwards. I did just that. I came so hard, I thought I was going to pass out. My arms twitched, my legs tightened, then relaxed again. My eyes rolled in the back of my head as I moaned into my undead gag. The zombie just watched me orgasm for him with a grotesque grin on his fucked up face. When I finished my orgasm, I felt sick to my stomach. I wanted to throw up. I looked at the blue rotting thing between my legs. I wanted to kill him. That is, if you could kill something that's already dead. The hands on my breasts never stopped milking me. My breasts were very sore from the continuous squeezing. I looked at the zombie, and he placed his ice-cold hands on my hips. I couldn't believe what he was going to do to me. But it was true, he was preparing to melt me. I pulled my wrist to get him away with no success. I was spread wide open, and my knees were held firm. He put his face in front of mine and moaned, "Pussy." Then he thrust his ice-cold, hard cock inside my hot, wet pussy or snatch. I screamed as he raped my soft little muffin. With the blood from his mouth dripping onto my neck and his eyeball dangling down, bumping against my cheek and nose. I thought I was going insane. Still, he kept pounding into my pussy hard and slow. His rotting cock felt like a thick icicle slipping in and out of me, pushing his rape tool in as deep as he could in my abused cunt. His breath was crossed between strong blood and feces. Still, he kept pounding into my vagina hard and slow. His rotting cock felt... Oh, okay, I already read that. He bit down on my left nipple. I cried in pain as he sank his broken teeth into my breast. Still, the undead hands kept milking me for him. He was sucking blood from my nipple as he poked inside my vagina. I felt so sick that I turned my head and vomited. Then I was held down and spread wide open by the undead, being raped by a zombie. While he sucked blood from my nipple, he also pumped at my pussy with his ice-cold, rotting shaft. Every time he pushed into me, a little vomit would come out of my mouth. His pace started to quicken as he stopped suckling my breast. I knew what was coming next when I, even though I prayed for it not to, he was going to seed my fertile pussy. I tried to struggle, but it was no use. He arched back and moaned, "Pussy," then filled me with his cold seed. My body betrayed me, and I orgasmed too. I must have been because my pussy was so hot and his cock and seed were so cold. My whole body vibrated and my pussy tightened and relaxed around his ice-cold member. I was milking the seed from him. It was like a normal guy's cum inside me. It wasn't hot and sticky. It was cold and clumpy. I would have to say it was like someone had put bat milk inside my pussy. You know how it gets. You know how it gets when it goes bad, liquidy with big clumps and very cold. That's what it felt like. As he coated my pussy with his seed, he pulled his cold rape member out of me and walked away while I was still uncontrollably orgasming. His hands slowly went back into the ground. The hands went slowly back into the ground. First, the ones at my knees, then my breast, then my hair. The ones that covered my mouth went to my neck and started to choke me. I couldn't breathe. I was going to die. Then I blacked out. The next thing I remember, the sun was starting to come up. I gathered my clothes and ran home. Everyone was still asleep. I jumped into the shower and washed up. After I was done, I went to bed and thought about what happened to me in the graveyard. Someone at the party must have slipped something into my one of my drinks. I probably hallucinated it all. Not the rape, mind you, But what I saw raping me and holding me down, that had to be it. About a month later, I found out I was pregnant. I kept it a secret from everyone. This was until my water broke 9 months later. Then everyone knew I wasn't just fat. The delivery was quick and painless to my surprise. And it only took an hour. I gave birth to a baby girl, but the doctor and nurses were very quiet. They whispered, then told me the baby was dead. I asked to see her, and they held her up. She was very blue and cold to touch. They took her away the next day, and the day of my release, I noticed that I was lactating milk mixed with blood, and it was cold, not warm. A scary thought came into my brain later that night. I snuck into the hospital morgue. I found my baby girl and held her to me. I took out my breasts and put the nipple into her mouth and squirted my milk and blood mixture into her mouth. Her eyes opened wide and she began to suckle my special milk from my breasts. Her eyes and hair were black as coal. Her body was cold and blue like her father's, and I had given birth to a zombie baby. God damn. And so that's the end of Zombie Lust. That was a long ass story, but that's one of my favorite stories. That's a crazy ass story. Damn, it was cold and clumpy. Can you imagine something cold and clumpy going inside you? Well, you don't have a vagina, obviously, but I mean, can you imagine something cold and clumpy and funky going in your vagina? All right, so we're going to take another break here. Let me catch my breath, and then, we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back, your number one necrophiliac. Thank you for tuning in today on Delia's Dark Side on SkidRowStudios.com. And if you want to chat with me before I sign off, the number here is 800-893-9562. I hope you enjoyed those crazy stories, zombie lust, and the Bible thumper. So remember, be careful when you're walking through those graveyards. At night, I love walking through graveyards. There's one graveyard that I particularly like walking through, and it's the one over there on, and it's in South Central LA. But what's the name of the street? You don't remember the name of the street? You do. You just don't want to talk right now. Anyway, it's a really old graveyard, and I love walking through that place. But I don't think I would ever go through that motherfucker at night because it looks pretty fucking creepy. Anyway, also, you guys, if you are interested, I started my business, actually. It's called Delia's Jewels, and I have one of my, this is my skull bracelet, my gothic skull bracelet right here. You can see that. Yay. That's just one of my pieces that I'm wearing, but I make necklaces, bracelets, and I'm going to get my website. I have my website up. I just haven't taken any pictures yet because I don't know if I need models or something, but, you know, I want to have it looking cool before I get it all set up on the website and everything. But, you know, you can contact me. My contact number should be down there below on the screen somewhere. It's elementsd666 at AOL.com, or you can go to my website at deliasdarksideradio.com. I have my own separate website. You can't contact me there, but you can contact me on my email address and, you know, inquire about some jewelry because, you know, I'm always making that. This is one of my jewels, too, that I make. This is a crystal quartz necklace. And again, I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me today on Delia's Dark Side. I had a blast, and I will be back in January, and hopefully in January I'll be back more regularly, probably every other week or something like that. But I'm liking this time. I might think about changing to 1 o'clock because I like this time. Anyway, what else can we talk about? You know, just Christmas. So some interesting gifts. You know, I have one story about a creepy porcelain doll. So you guys watch the Annabelle movie? I haven't seen that movie yet. My husband's scary ass and he don't want to go. You did? You saw the movie? How was it?
It was awesome. It was like, I don't know. I love scary movies.
Me too.
And it got to me.
Really? Because I saw The Conjuring and then, yeah, Annabelle. I want to see that movie so bad.
Yeah, it's crazy. The whole movie, right at the end of the movie, picks up where The Conjuring started.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah, it just like totally foretells the whole story behind it.
So did it go to DVD yet, or is it still playing in the theater?
I don't know if it did. I'm not sure, but it should be coming out soon because it came out like a little bit before Halloween, I think.
Right.
Yeah. So hopefully.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. Yeah, cool. All right, so now we are done here on Delia's Dark Side. Thanks for hanging out on Delia's Sinister Nightmare Before Christmas. This is Delia's Dark Side, and I am out.
Delia's gone, one more round. Delia's gone.